Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story? Hello, Weirdsville! Does that sound like you would hear me? I'm on the center stage of the massive stadium rock arena. Does it sound like
As soon as you said it, I could hear the reverb.
Yeah. Well, that's because you put it in
right
in post production there. Right. So I appreciate that. That sounds really cool.
Yeah.
Welcome everybody to the show. What's your weird story? Are you ready to rock?
There's some truth to that.
We'll explain that momentarily. But first, let me introduce the band. On guitar and drums and everything else is your host Barry Johnston.
I don't know how you play a solo for every one of those things with your mouth, you know, but if you could, I would do that. Thanks, man.
And I'm obviously the synth guy. your other host Adam Beebe. We got a fun episode today. It's really cool. It's rock and roll and it's magic and it's all from the land down under. We've got our very first truly international guest from across time zones and international date lines even. We've got our first guest from, he's in Australia, and he is a rocker, and he's got some cool stories to tell. So, Barry, we both were in bands, and we were both involved in that, but you especially, you had a lot more involvement in the rock and roll lifestyle.
I had my fair share.
Dude, have you got any quick short stories that you can share? Feel comfortable sharing?
I can tell you. I can tell you a story about touring in Australia.
Perfect. Let's hear that.
Well,
as a warm up.
Yeah, it
as a tease.
We were flying in from Japan, okay, mm-hmm. And this was 2004, okay.
Okay.
And we're flying in. We get to, I think we were in Sydney. We land, and then we find out that all of our gear has been grounded in Indonesia, in Bali.
Oh.
So the cargo plane apparently had a malfunction that it had to land due to emergency. And so we literally, if anybody... You know, people may not know this, but when you travel internationally, you try to ship things that via cargo that will make your life easier. So people that have instruments that they like to play, ship those, right? Mm-hmm. Some things you rent, like drum kits and stuff like that, but usually guitars, tools, mm-hmm. things that you would need would get shipped. Mm-hmm. And every piece of our gear is missing. And we have a show that night. It might have been the next night, but we had very short time to find gear. So
right.
We call every music store and nobody's got anything. You know, it's like, and this pretty specific gear request, you know, I mean, stuff that won't blow up, you know.
Right.
An hour and a half into a show, you know, so we pieced together. It was so frantic. And I just remember, like, I wanted to enjoy it. little backstory to this is I got real sick in Japan, man. I ate something that just it gave me dysentery or something, and I shit myself for like 10 days straight. And so I just started to feel better, and then we have to deal with this chaotic mess. So the first, 36 hours was just hell. After that, it got great. And the Australian people, what kills me about Jake is it's like, he just like, the Australian rocker just exudes out of his spirit.
Yeah.
You know, AC/DC, yeah. Everybody knows Bon Scott, I mean, come on, mm-hmm. man. I mean, and everybody in Australia has got a Bon Scott story. Everybody, it's like kids that are 18, my dad saw them play, and everybody's got a story. So, but he really just, he made me laugh because to me, going to Australia was a lot like going to Southern California. Everybody's laid back. Everybody's cool. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got a great attitude. The architecture is very much like America because they were founded around the same time by the same groups of people. And so it's stunning how it's like, oh my gosh, if I were to, close my eyes and open them and say I'm in America, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference, But I love Australia. First time I ever ate an egg on a hamburger was in Australia. That was a thing.
Oh, yeah.
That was a thing I never did,
Yeah.
Never heard about it. So that was the first place I ever heard about an egg on a hamburger. So ate some kangaroo. That was good.
That's cool, man. That sounds definitely like all of that catastrophe turning into something good.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds mm-hmm. very much like so many, on the road stories that I've heard and been a part of
right.
as well. So yep. which band can
that
you
was,
say?
Well, that was Anthrax. I was working for Anthrax. And then it was Killswitch Engage and another band called Soilwork. They're European guys. So it was pretty killer, man. I mean, the shows were out of control, man. They were.
That explains why you need the stuff that wasn't going to explode.
Yeah, yeah, man. And they, things can happen during the day that bum you out, but as soon as you play a show in front of a bunch of people that are just mm-hmm. there to see you, it makes everything go away. It's just like, you're there to do your job, and then you're like, this is what we do, So, but yeah, man. Yeah. So I think I went over there another time with Bad Religion, but nothing sticks out to me. It was so long ago that I would have to rack my brain on what we did. But
yeah, Barry's been very fortunate through his hard work and determination, and just by being a outstanding dude and just somebody who's completely agreeable to work with. That he's been able to hook up with a lot of like really impressive, well-known and respected musical acts throughout the time that he was on the road as a tour guy for in all sorts of capacities.
You're making me blush, man.
It's true, though. It's true, man. I've bragged on you several times for all the people you worked for. So
it was enjoyable. It was, I did it for about 10 years, mm-hmm. close to 10 mm-hmm. years, which is long enough, and, you get to the point where it's like, man, I've so far exceeded any expectation I ever had to do. Mm-hmm. It's like, at a certain point, you get married and you have a family and, you just redirect your energy, So, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. it was cool. It was fun. Those guys were heroes of mine. I mean, I literally had their posters in my room growing up, so it was great. It was great to meet those guys and become friends with them. And enough about me. I hate talking about myself.
Well, I pulled it out of you. I made you. I forced you because it was relatable and it relates to our guest, and the subject, to a degree of what he's talking about. And like Barry said, our guest today is Jake. He is from Melbourne, and he is in a band called White Devil Detroit, and they are rock and roll, and they are badass, and we highly recommend you guys go and checking out some of their music. They're still kind of newish. They're putting it together. They do a lot of shows, but they're putting together some, like, they're actually, I think, in the studio right about now, finishing up a EP, and it's gonna be good, man. That's really, it's like classic glam metal 80s kind of rock, you know, like just fun and just so, you know, very, very much in that, you know, very much in the lineage of like AC/DC, but yeah. Like, you know,
yeah.
But more, but also with, you know, a touch of like, you know, the glam and like of the hair metal and yep. Bowie and so.
Yes.
But yeah, so anyway, beyond just all that, the music, there's magic behind the music and some other weird things. And that's what we're talking to Jake about today. And the story that he has to share is all about this and his practicing and discovery of chaos magic and how he is some of the things that he's experienced with it. And it's just, man, it was a lot of fun talking to Jake. He's a great guy, and we really, really enjoyed it. And he, you know, he got up early to speak to us because, you know, he's a rocker, and he got up around noon his time, and so they can speak to us here in the afternoon our time. So we you know, we really appreciate that. But I guess without further ado, let's go ahead and let's get to it. And Jake, thank you for joining us. What's your weird story?
Well, to sort of set this story up, I feel like I need to give a bit of context before we get into like the nitty gritty.
Cool, man. Yeah. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Insane shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, my background is, you know, I grew up in a home, like my mom was a bit, she wasn't a very good mother, and, but she was well into magic and the occult and tarot cards and stuff like that. Like, I remember when I was 8 years old, she wasn't home, and I'd gotten home from school one afternoon. I remember crawling up into her, like, looking up in her cupboard on top of a chair. And I remember seeing like a stack of like Penthouse magazines, a homemade bong, and a voodoo doll that she'd made of her ex-boyfriend.
Wow.
And like detailed too. Like, I mean, like she'd even like drawn the tattoos on the little nipple ring that he had, like, wow. Fucking. Yeah. So there's that side of it. That's sort of, I never really got it when I was a kid. I looked at her and I just thought she was fucking nuts.
Uh-huh.
And then the other side of that is, my dad, he's the one who got me into Twisted Sister and, you know, AC/DC and stuff like that. And they separated when I was really young, when I was like 2 years old. And I remember whenever my dad would pick me up, I'd be so fucking happy. He had custody of me every second weekend. And I'd hop in the passenger like side of his car, and there would always be a fucking cassette in there, whether it was like, you know, Twisted Sister or Metallica or AC/DC. And I think just because I was so happy to be with my dad, I always associated rock music and mm-hmm. being down the highway, hearing guitar solos with like a serotonin boost in my little right. in my little young brain.
That's great.
So there's a bit of context for my childhood and sure. how that sort of relates to what's happened and what is happening now. And then, you know, I never really got into the occult or anything as a teenager. It wasn't until I was like in my early 20s that I sort of started looking at, you know, stuff like I bought the Satanic Bible, the Anton LaVey, you yeah. know, all that sort of stuff. And I just started reading about it. And, you know, when I was 12 years old, sorry, just got to take it back to rock and roll, because rock and roll and magic, they're the integral parts of this story.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, ooh. So yeah, like my dad, he always played music in the car and everything, like I said. But then when I was 12 years old, my best friend at the time got a guitar for Christmas, and before he could even fucking play a note or anything, he's like, "Yep, all right, Jake, we're gonna start a band, and you're gonna be the lead singer." And like that just gave me, I was like, okay. And like I couldn't sing for years. I was like totally off key, fucking tone deaf, shit. But it gave me direction. It gave me purpose. You know what I mean? Like and now I look at my life, and I haven't really set myself up to do anything else but be a fucking rock singer and a front man. So like,
that's what you do. That's
yeah,
what
man.
You do.
That's it, man.
You put
that's
you, it. It's, you got to go for it, man. You there's no second guessing. You just you do it.
Yeah.
The only only difference between people that don't do it and people that do it is the people that do it have a better chance at it.
Yeah,
that's right. And you know, that's it. Yeah. And like White Devil Detroit's my life's work. Like, I know it's like such a fucking heavy thing to say for a 25-year-old, but it really is.
Yeah,
I don't give a shit about anything else.
Yeah. It's great stuff. It's great stuff, by the way, and we'll plug it for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you. Yeah. But so like I've been singing in bands since I was like 14. You know, just singing in rock bands. When I lived in Brisbane, I live in Melbourne now. I moved here and started White Devil Detroit about 3 years ago. You know, all that. And then like just before I came to Melbourne, I remember when I first moved to Melbourne, the only things I had were a copy of David Bowie Diamond Dogs album.
Choice.
And I had Anton LaVey The Satanic Bible, and I don't think I had read it yet. And I got down here and I read it, and you know, I was already interested in Aleister Crowley for a few years, but just as a pop culture icon, you know, as in the same way that we might be interested in fucking Evel Knievel or Walt Disney or Muhammad Ali or someone, you know what I mean? Like, it's just as a pop culture villain caricature sort of thing.
Yeah.
I didn't really know much about him. I just thought, oh yeah, he seems like a badass, you know, like.
Yeah.
Fast forward a few years later, and I started to do a bit of research on what was I researching? Oh, I wanted to write a book about Aleister Crowley's influence on pop culture. I hadn't practiced any magic. I didn't even think it held any weight. You know what I mean? I thought, oh, that's all bullshit. Like, it's just, you know, he's just it's just edgy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And anyways, I was doing research for this book that I wanted to write, and I came across this article for a website called magic.me, and it's run by a guy called Jason Louvre. And it was like, want to learn how to practice magic? Da 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 da. Sign up here. And I'm like, oh, okay. And like, I read the article. And basically this article that I read was talking about sigils and the art of doing sigils, you know, like the Austin Osman spare method where you write, you know, like, I have a weather balloon, and then you cross out all the vowels and all the letters that appear twice, and then jumble up the letters that you have left to make a new symbol, make it look all magical and shit.
Mm-hmm.
You hide it in the corner for 3 months. You go back and look at it. You're like, I can't remember what this is for. And then you jerk off to it. That's essentially, that's essentially it. Cause like, you know, at the moment of orgasm, you are experiencing, you know, the French call the orgasm the little death, you know what I mean? It is an altered state of consciousness in that moment of orgasm. You know what I mean? Like, it's an ego shattering moment, you know what I mean? It's fucking ego shattering.
Yeah, I can, so the theory
is that you can slip stuff into your subconscious and hack reality, and whether that's because you've slipped it into your subconscious and you're just brainwashing yourself to do things that make the thing that you want happen psychologically, or you're literally pushing on the fucking walls of the matrix and you know, reality is malleable. Whichever way you look at it, I don't know, it seems to fucking work. So it's crazy.
Yeah.
So that's all I knew about magic. That is literally the only thing I knew about magic, is that you can manifest stuff through orgasm.
You don't need an eye. You don't need eye of Newt. You don't need a cauldron. You just need, you know, a tissue.
And you got a hand, and you got a dick.
A hand.
You got magic. Magic Johnson.
He's got a lot of magic.
But so that's all I knew. I didn't own any books on magic, and I just started to get into it a bit more and a bit interested. I had bought the Book of the Law, which is Crowley's, how do I explain that? It's sort of like his manifesto, apparently something a higher intelligence wrote the book through him, et cetera, et cetera.
I think, if I recall correctly, it was inspired in when he went to Egypt, and I think that it was supposed to be Ra that spoke to him, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, Iwas is the higher intelligence that spoke through him. Yeah. When he sort of, I think he had sex with his Mrs. Rose in the Great Pyramid, and then she started like talking a bunch of stuff. Like she'd gotten like high on a bit of weed and wine and stuff, and she started talking about the gods need to speak with you. And he's like, all right. And then yeah, there was a whole bunch of weird stuff. Like he's like, all right, like how do you know what Horus looks like? And she went to the Cairo Museum or whatever, and she walked right up to like a display that had Horus on it, and he walked up and he's like, holy shit, it is Horus. And then he looked at the number of the display and it was 666, and he was like, what? Oh. All this sort of shit. Anyway, so like I had read the thing about orgasms. All I knew was that orgasms could manifest things. The other thing that I had read, I was reading about Andrew WK. You know Andrew WK?
Yeah, fuck yeah, man.
Yeah,
man, he's a fucking Thelemite. He's a magician, dude. Like, he practices magic.
Okay.
Yeah, man, he's right into the Crowley stuff, and I was reading about him, and he said, like, I remember seeing a thing like that Thelemites, which is what Crowley's religion or philosophy or whatever you'd like to call it is, it's called Thelema, mm-hmm. which is the Greek word for will. So you got to find your true will and pursue the fuck out of it, basically. And I remember seeing something that he said about like, oh, Thelemites have the Book of the Law on their altar. That's all. The only two things I knew about, like, sort of magic or ceremony or ritual, is that you can manifest stuff through orgasm, and Thelemites have the Book of the Law on their altar. So, just to give some context, I hadn't read anything else. I had no books on magic. Now I'm fucking well read on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
But then I was seriously did not know anything. So I'm in White Devil Detroit. At this point as well, we'd been doing the band for about a year. Yeah, about a year. So my I was living in a share house, and I was living with a bunch of people. One of the people I lived with was this girl. I won't say her name, but like she used to always be getting around the house tripping on Robitussin. And I never got it. I was always like, what the fuck? Like, it just seems a bit weird. Like, what's the point? Like, I didn't understand what the effect of Robitussin was. And then I just, you know, I'm starting to really get into the occult and the idea of magic. I hadn't started meditating or doing any ritual. I hadn't read anything. Like I said, I just have to make that really clear. I didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Yeah.
So she's like, we're sitting there one Friday night and she's tripping on Robitussin, and I'm like, what's it like? And she's like, oh, it's like ketamine crossed with acid. And I was like, what? Why didn't you say so? So like she gives me some Robitussin, and like I start tripping on Robitussin for the first time ever. And I'm tripping there, and it's starting to peak and stuff. And then like in my mind, I'm like, okay, like, in my share house that I was in, we had a lounge room, and then me and my girlfriend at the time, we had our own unit out the back, like separate from everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So like I'm tripping, and I go over to my thing, and I'm like, I'm gonna do a ritual. I just thought of it, just made it up as I went. So my girlfriend at the time, she had a stripper pole in the middle of the lounge room, like a big steel pole. And I set up, I put this organ in front of it, like leaned up against it. I put the Book of the Law on the altar because that's just what I knew, like from an NGWK. I lit some candles on there. And then what I wanted to do the ritual for is LA Guns. You guys know the band LA Guns?
Oh, yeah, of course.
So LA Guns were coming to Australia really soon. And I wanted to get White Devil Detroit the opening slot for LA Guns. That's what I was basing the ritual around, right?
Good, yeah. Yeah.
All right, so I've got the altar set up. It's leaned up against the pole. There's candles lit on it. I've got the Book of the Law. And I just strip my clothes off, get butt naked, and I kneel down in front of the altar. I'm like on my knees, like sort of like dragon stance on my knees. And I write down, I'm tripping on Robitussin for the first time ever. Yeah. So all this shit's like, I'm just making this shit up as I go. All I know is that orgasms manifest things. All I know is that the Book of the Law needs to be on the altar. I'm tripping on Robitussin. It's fucking weird.
Yeah.
And so I sit down, kneel on the altar, and I write on this piece of paper. I wrote something, I don't know what the fuck I wrote. It was like, I happily accept the opening slot for LA Guns on behalf of the rock band White Devil Detroit. Something like that. And then I sit down in front of the altar and I'm like just fucking butt naked and I just start chanting that over and over again. What I'd written, I happily accept, blah, 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 blah. I just chanted, like, just kept saying it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, all the while jacking my ding dong. And I kept that up for like fucking 40 minutes. Not even kidding. I
feel sorry for your ding dong, man.
And your arm, man. I mean, come on.
By the end of that 40 minutes, I'm exhausted. I get up and I'm like panting. So I get up and I sit on the couch. I go sit on the couch. And this is when it happened. So I sit down on the couch and I just pass out. I go, my eyes close. And I leave my body. I've never had an out-of-body experience. Yeah. This is really, really weird. I've never had an out-of-body experience. I never experienced anything like this.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't expect this to happen. All I wanted to happen was for, like, you know, a bit of cum to shoot out on the piece of paper. I'll clean up and then go back over to the house. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I did not expect to have an out-of-body experience or any of this weird shit. So anyways, I sit down on the couch, leave my body. The best way I can describe this universe or this realm or this dimension or this vibration of this frequency of reality that I entered is that it was like Tron. It looked a lot like Tron.
Huh.
You know the movie Tron?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
classic.
And you know those like glass electric balls and you put your fingers on them and the electricity like travels to wherever your hand is on the ball?
Yeah,
the plasma balls.
Right. So imagine if it was like Tron and like that episode of The Simpsons where Homer goes through into the other dimension through the wall. You know, the 3D episode?
Yes.
Yeah.
But the lines, instead of being like Tron and like the green lines in the Simpsons episode, they're like the electricity that you see in those balls, white electricity. Wow. And it's grid. And I like just like looked around and shit. And I not only I felt my consciousness not in my where I was sitting in this realm, but over on the other side of the room, just below the floor.
Hmm.
Whoa.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well,
It was really strange. It was like I had shot it not only into a different fucking world, but I was like across the room and underneath the floorboards. Like that's where I felt like my consciousness was positioned in vicinity to where my physical body actually was.
Mm.
So I was in there for like a minute and then I came back out and I was like, whoa, and then passed back out again, went back in there. And this, you got to remember too, I didn't orgasm.
Right.
And I found out later, I've looked into other things later to try and make sense of what happened to me. But so what happened was I went back in there again, back into the fucking weird Tron world, and then this burst of electricity shot up through my spine and out of my fucking head and went, I traveled up with it right into the sky of this like Tron world, and it was in the shape of the lead singer of, I've left out a really important part of this. Sorry.
Okay, yeah.
Let's rewind back to the altar when I was jerking my ding-dong. So what I did in front of the altar is I laid down a White Devil Detroit card, an LA Guns trading card. Oh, sorry, it was a White Devil Detroit sticker. A White Devil Detroit sticker, an LA Guns trading card, a White Devil Detroit sticker, an LA Guns trading card, a White Devil Detroit sticker, an LA Guns trading card. And a White Devil Detroit sticker that was also in front of the altar.
Okay,
sorry, that's a very important detail because in my mind, my robo tripping mind, just making it up, you know, chaos magic ritual. In my mind, that was locking in our energies with their energy.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
Right. Okay, that's an important detail. Now let's go back to where I was.
Cool.
So this energy shoots out of my fucking head, disperses across through the grid, and then I come back to, and I'm like, whoa. I just said out loud, I was like, no more of that. Like, who the fuck was I talking to? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was so weird. And then like I'm like, yeah, no more of that. And then I get up and I take a few steps. And this is the weirdest fucking bit. And this is the bit that's like, what? I'm back in my conscious body. I'm back in my physical body.
Mm-hmm.
And I get up and take a few steps. And I look up at the ceiling. It's just a normal ceiling. It just looks like how it does now. You know what I mean? Like, you can just see the roof, like, whatever. I feel a UFO telepathically communicating with me, and I say out loud, I'm like, there's a UFO up there. It said something to me, And then I even felt, I couldn't see it. It must have been in that sort of dimension. And then I felt it do that thing that UFOs do. You know, when they boom.
Yeah, you know,
they cut side to side really quickly and then take off. I felt it do that. Like, wow. I felt it do that. I've never been a big believer in UFOs or fucking aliens or any of that sort of shit. So I'm like freaking out now. I'm like, what the fuck? What the actual fuck? I thought I'd gone crazy. I thought I'd gone absolutely fucking crazy. Lost my mind. I was really worried. I was really worried that I'd gone nuts.
Yeah.
To be honest. And then I had a friend message me on Facebook, and we have a TV show over here in Australia called Rage.
Mm-hmm.
Rage plays a lot of music videos. It's sort of like how MTV used to be back in the day.
Yeah,
right.
And sometimes Rage have like specials on. And then a mate of mine messaged me. He's like, "Hey man, there's an AC/DC special on Rage." And I'm starting to come down off the Robitussin, and I'm also just left my body and went to some Tron world and had a UFO communicate with me. So I'm like, okay, AC/DC on Rage will help me ground myself and come back to Earth. Like, yeah. Okay, so I go over to the house and I'm sitting there and I'm watching Rage and I'm like, oh shit, I gotta figure out what the fuck happened to me, man. Like, I gotta figure out what the fuck was. That was crazy. Ah, wasn't fucking crazy, and I knew not long after that I wasn't crazy. So I'm like sitting there watching Rage and watching Bon Scott do his fucking thing on the TV. And I'm like, I type into Google, magical Robitussin trip, because what was involved? Magic and Robitussin.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously magic with a K.
Right.
So I type in magical Robitussin trip, and the first article that comes up is an article called Libba DXM. So Crowley names all of his books Libba, like, you know, the book of the law that I had on the altar.
Yeah,
that's called Liberel. Like, his magic and theory and practice here, and you know, like Libba XV, Libba O, Libba blah blah blah. It's always Libba fucking something with this guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And DXM is the chemical component in Robitussin that makes you trip.
Oh.
Whoa. Wow.
Right. And you can find this article still now. So I'm like, what the fuck? Libba DXM? Like, hectic. And I click on the article. Other people have been to the Tron world. Other people have actually been abducted and taken up into the UFOs. Like,
this is the first I'm hearing of this. I've never heard about any of this.
I mean, I've heard of road tripping, but I have not heard of anything like this.
Yeah,
like exactly what you're talking about.
Tron and stuff. Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
So, like, there's a whole article of people who have experienced the exact same thing. And then the funny thing is too. Like, you know, in the last few years, I've looked into other stuff that has made sense of this. Like Wilhelm Reich, he was a Freudian psychologist, and he discovered a thing called orgon energy, which is the energy released at the moment of orgasm. And towards the end of his life, he created this machine called a cloud buster, and he would shoot orgon energy. I'm not even sure how it worked, but he would shoot orgon energy up into the sky. Remember what happened to me? I shot some fucking energy up into the sky after I didn't orgasm internally. And that's what Kundalini is. It's an internal orgasm that shoots up through your spine.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think Kundalini and orgon energy might be the same thing. But anyways, Wilhelm Reich, towards the end of his life, this is something I found out later, he would shoot orgon energy up into the sky with his cloud buster, and then UFOs would start to appear and other people would start to see them. That was a big thing that he went on about at the end of his life, is seeing UFOs after shooting orgon energy up into the sky. And then, you know, there's other things like, check this fucking photo out of this creature that Crowley had communication with.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Like, that's long before Roswell. So for people who are listening to the podcast, Google a picture of Aleister Crowley lamb. Tell me that's not a fucking gray alien. Yeah, right. Yeah. Dare.
I'll make sure I'll make sure to put that picture up on the social media so you guys can check it out on the Instagram and whatnot when you're listening to this episode.
Yeah, that's That is crazy drawing.
It's basically, you know, again, if you don't have the ability to look it up while you're listening, it's basically your generic, you know, big head at the top, you know, and small pointy chin, like a gray alien, you know, except his eyes aren't massive, but still. I mean, you would know, you could pick that out of a police lineup and say, well, that's what, you know what exactly what that is.
Yeah, exactly, man. And like, there's just so much other stuff that I've learned about, like, John C. Lilly, the scientist who invented sensory deprivation tanks, and he experimented with ketamine, and ketamine is in the same class of drug as DXM. It's a dissociative. So there's ketamine, PCP, you know, doing Nangs, like nitrous oxide, all disassociatives. Yeah,
right.
Anyways, yeah. John C. Lilly, I just read his biography called The Scientist. I really highly recommend it. And he talks about, you know, taking ketamine and having contact with these higher beings and stuff like this. And, you know, there is something to this, guys. It's fucking weird. You know, Timothy Wiley, he was in the Process Church of the Final Judgment back in the day, which were like a offshoot of Scientology, and they had their own like sort of theology and stuff like that. He started experimenting with ketamine and speaking with angels, and there is really something to this. It's really strange. Like, that's what I mean. Like, I this is the first time I've talked about this in a public forum, and I've wanted to for a long time.
That's awesome.
It's interesting because I had that happen and it changed my fucking life. It really changed my life because I was like, there's more. You know, and then I also, a few months after I had this experience, I smoked DMT, and, you know, you have the whole, like, leave your body on DMT sort of thing.
Yeah,
like,
right.
You meet entities when you're on DMT, which anybody can do.
But, did you meet the mechanical elves, or is that what, because we spoke to a couple episodes, our friend Emotron, and he was talking about DMT and ayahuasca, his experiments with that, or his not necessarily experiments, but I guess his experiences would be a better word. But yeah, he talked about mechanical elves was something with DMT. Yeah.
I haven't met the elves, but like, I know so many people that have. I had sort of like these like weird female things that were just sort of like trying to show me shit. No, they were just like moving. You know, the thing about DMT, it's like you cannot even explain that. And even talking about my experience, you know, leaving my body on DXM and being fucking telepathically communicated with the UFO outside of our reality, like even talking about that, like I really want to give as much detail and backstory and things that I've found afterwards to so I can be understood, because to be understood is to be believed, and it's very important for me to be believed because I'm not fucking crazy. Like, I'm not making this up. This actually fucking happened to me, and it changed my life. I got obsessed with magic after this. I got obsessed with meditation. I put rock and roll on the back burner. I was even going to leave White Devil Detroit because I was like, no, this is so important. But then, you got to remember, I wouldn't have even had this happen if it wasn't for White Devil Detroit. I had the White Devil Detroit stickers and the LA Gun trading cards in front of me. All this was for White Devil Detroit.
Yeah.
Magic and rock and roll, the same thing. And then, you know, I've had other things happen, like our single, Coming Down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a magic sigil in itself, man. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Grant Morrison with the Invisibles, how he wrote King Mob had a fucking his lung collapse, and then it happened to Grant Morrison himself because he based that character on himself.
Wow.
Right. So in Coming Down, that was one of the first songs we ever wrote. And my drummer was like, he's a mad fucking bogan fighting, drinking fucking legend. Like, he's like John Bonham crossed with a bunning snag. You guys don't get that reference, but
the first part at least we get.
He's a really rad dude, and when we first started, man, he's like, can we write some songs about fucking and fighting? I was like, yeah, all right. And he wrote the first three lines of that song, the one that you guys have heard. What's it called? Kicking down the door, get out of my way, through to the floor, got nothing to say, blood on my hands, blood on my face. And then I wrote the third line of the verse, and I wrote the rest of the lyrics. And, you know, like the what's the second verse? Siren screams, the cops are coming. Through cigarette smoke, I start running. playing 20 questions, I say nothing. I don't say shit. I keep on bluffing. And then like the third verse is like locked in a cage, filled with rage. Can't check out, can't turn the page. Out on bail, no sense made. I know it's the law, but I can't obey. And we, like, that I ended up, after our first show ever, we wrote that song. We played Coming Down at our first show. And, you know, I'm a bit of a glam rock guy. Like, I dress pretty fucking weird. Like, there's some, I've always got some strange, different outfit on for our shows. Anyway, this was our first show ever, and I was just dressed pretty normal. I was just wearing, like, a Rolling Stones t-shirt and a pair of jeans, and I had some eyeliner on. But this guy came up to me after our first show, and he's like, what are you, a fucking faggot? You're wearing fucking makeup? No.
Yeah.
You know, this sort of shit. Yeah. And he's starting on me and my girlfriend at the time, and we're about to leave the venue. Everyone's gone. It's all over. We're about to get in a cab. Anyways, he takes a swing at us with a motorbike helmet. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So, like, before he could fucking hit us, like, cracked him in the face a couple of times and, like, knocked his teeth out. And, like, like the venue manager came out and was like, just get out of here, man, blah, 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 blah. That was all good.
Rock and roll, man. Rock and roll.
And this is the funny thing. This is the funny thing, man. That song manifested that.
Right.
I got in that fight.
Right.
I got arrested a while later. So the venue called me like a few days after, and they were like, oh, yeah, you know, the cops turned up here. That guy wants to press charges. They're like, we know you were in the right. And even the venue manager was like, that was a fucking really good hit, by the way. Da-da-da-da-da. Like, you know what I mean? If you need any help with the cops, like, let me know. He's like, we had to show them the footage off the CCTV camera because, you know, just legally we had to. But like, if you need any help, let us know. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm like, oh, the cops aren't going to find me. And I put all my Facebook on lockdown. I set everything to fucking private, like everything, like click, like da 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 da. You can't find me, motherfuckers. And then they started turning up at my house and leaving cards in my mailbox, like, please call us. We'd like to speak with you. Please call us. We'd like to speak with you. And I just kept being like, oh, I'm just gonna act like that got ruined by the rain and put it in the bin. And then it was like a Friday night. 1 o'clock in the morning on a Friday night. Can you believe this shit? I'm sitting there with my girlfriend. I'm like smoking a bong. Knock, knock, knock on the door. And I put the bong down. I'm like, who is it? And it's like, the police. Ooh. Okay. So I walk, I put the billy away and I walk over to the door. And I'm like, hello. And they're like, yeah, we want to speak to you about the incident, blah, blah, blah. And you know what we're talking about. And I didn't confirm nor deny. I was just like, okay. And then like, you know what I mean? Like just played it cool. And they're like, yeah, well, you can come in, book in an interview, or we can arrest you now and take you in. I'm like, no, it's fine. I'll come in for an interview. Anyways, going in for an interview, and I get some legal aid advice before I go into the interview, like at the cop station, and the lawyer's like, don't say anything. There's no such thing as off the record. Just say no comment. Right. And if you recall, the verse in Coming Down's like, playing 20 questions.
Yep.
I don't say nothing. I don't say shit. I keep on bluffing.
Right.
Yeah.
The cops are like asking me, like I go into the interview room. They ask me, you know, how old are you? What's your age? Et cetera, et cetera. All the things that I can answer, you know, like, yeah, da da da. Yes, I live here. And then the first question, the first real question that they ask in the interview, they're like, what can you tell me about the band White Devil Detroit? Now, if you recall, that's the start of our single. So in Australia, when you go in for a police interview, they give you a disc, a recording of the interview. So they keep one.
Okay.
You get one.
That's pretty cool.
And then there's another one that has video. Anyways, yeah, so I'm doing the interview. They're like, so what can you tell me about the band White Devil Detroit? And I'm just like, no comment. And then they have a manila folder. They have a manila folder.
And oh, you're fucked, man.
You've got your nothing own good folder,
comes out
man.
Of manila folder.
And, like, you know, Wu-Tang Clan have an FBI record, but why doesn't Detroit have a manila folder to the Victoria Police, all right?
That's awesome.
So, yeah, they open this manila folder, and they slide over a picture of me on stage at our first gig. Like, they've, and they're like, I slide it over across the table. They're like, that's obviously you singing on stage. And I'm like, no comment. And then, like, they got a bunch of photos of the band. They've got screenshots of, like, our gig flyer and everything.
Wow.
And I'm just like, no comment, no comment. Anyways, they gave up in the end, and because I just no commented. I remember the lawyer said to me, there's no such thing as off the record. Mm-hmm. So after everything's all shut off and everything, it's just me and another cop in there. He's like, so, mate, what kind of music does your band play? And I'm like, no comment. And he's like, mate, the machine's turned off. And I'm just like, no comment. And he's like, oh, whatever. I'm just
like, That's great.
Anyway, so, yeah, I'd been taken in, given an interview that I didn't say shit to. I'd been, like, locked in a cage, you know what I mean? Like, locked in a fucking holding room. Everything in the song Coming Down had manifested itself and come true.
Wow.
And then when we went in to record the song, because I had the disc with the interview on it, where the cop goes, what can you tell me about the band White Devil Detroit? I took that into the producer. I'm like, hey, man, the first question this cop fucking asked me is about the band. Do you reckon you could get that bit of audio off and we could tack it onto the front of the song? Yes.
That's awesome.
It manifested itself, and then the thing that it manifested ended up being back on the thing that manifested it. It's like a fucking infinite loop of feedback.
Yeah.
And that's how magic works, man. It doesn't matter, like, whether it's a comic book like Grant Morrison mm-hmm. or whether it's me writing a song, you know what I mean? You got to be careful. Right. You really got to be careful.
Yeah.
You got to be careful because art is magic. Art is whatever is latent in the right. subconscious. And if that's because, I don't know, my big question in life is did I foretell it or did I manifest it?
Yeah.
Was my subconscious telling me, haha, that's going to happen? Or because I wrote it, did it happen?
Right.
Yeah. That's the question. That's the question. Well, I'll never have an answer. Well, I'll never have an answer. I never want to ever have an answer to that. But that's my big question in life. Is like, did I manifest it, or did I foretell it? Was it prophecy? Was it clairvoyance? Or was it manifestation and law of attraction?
Right.
Who knows?
Right.
Who fucking knows, yeah. man?
Well, the important thing is that you're trying to put the pieces together. That's the important thing.
Yeah.
You know, because so much of life, people don't connect the dots. You know, and if you're spending your time and your efforts into connecting the dots, but like putting it into a positive place where it can be, you know, something that furthers your vision or whatever, that's important. And, you know, you hear about people a lot, like actors or comedians that build their fame off of like being an alcoholic or being a drug addict, you know, and then they get out and people, that's what they know them for. So, you know, they get up to the bar and they get the, you know, everybody's going to buy them a drink, you know, and it's like, that life is hard to escape from, but in a lot of ways it manifested itself that way because exactly. that's where the energies were put, you know, it's you see that a lot with you know, even bands too, you know, that sort of write their own destiny within their songs and then they become that song, you know, like.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know,
I'm very conscious of what I'm putting in there into our lyrics now. I you know what I mean? I'm like, holy shit, if I can manifest getting arrested,
right?
Imagine what else I can manifest. Absolutely. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
Exactly what happened in the song is exactly what happened to me. And then, like, we got to use what happened to me in the song.
Right, right. It's crazy.
So awesome.
Crazy, man. But, it's wild, man. Like,
that's some
chaos
shit,
magic
dude.
Is an amazing thing. Yeah. It's an amazing thing. It really is.
That's awesome,
it really is.
Man.
And the girl, the babysitter girl, she picked up the phone and there was a policeman on the other side and he said, we've tracked the phone call and it's coming from inside the house!
Whoa.
Yeah, dude.
I love those urban legend stories.
Dude, I do too. And you remember the one where the girl, it's always the babysitter or it's the kids making out in Lover's Lane, but there's the one where the girl comes up and she finds the kids are watching TV and she turns them around and their face has SpaghettiOs.
Oh, man. Or the hook guy. Remember the hook guy?
Oh, the hook was hanging from the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
So if you got a story that is similar to any of those awesome urban legends, we want to hear it. Because, you know, those urban legends, man, they started off as somebody's true life weird story. It's got to be true somewhere.
So have you seen you know, from that first time that you tried the ritual? Have you seen anything that has sort of manifested from that at all? I mean, is there anything?
Well, we didn't get the LA Guns opening slot.
Okay, bummer, man.
But you know, the thing about magic too is that, like, you've got to set it and forget it. And you know,
yeah,
like, obviously I haven't forgotten about that, because what the fuck? Who could forget about something like that, man?
Right.
You know, it's become more than just about trying to open for LA Guns. It's like, what the fuck is the nature of reality?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, holy fucking shit. Like,
yeah,
dude. And there's still time to open for LA Guns, man. There's still time for it to
work. Yeah, of course.
We're only a young band. We're only on the come up now, you know, so it's all good.
Of course.
Do you think that if you had in your ceremony, if you had used some lube, and do you think?
Well, yeah.
That might have been where you went wrong. I don't know.
Maybe that's what I needed to do, man. I had the candles lit. I had the White Devil Detroit stickers and the LA Guns trading cards, and I had the Book of the Law. I was missing lube.
That's the one thing, man.
It's the magical ingredient,
that's
dude.
That's hilarious. No, but that's great. I mean, because a lot of what you talk about, man, like, that's what I do. Like, I I put my energies, I have a belief that if you put it out into the universe, whatever it is that you're looking for, if you just, it could be as, you know, as silly as, you know, a poem or the fact that you want a new job or something like that. I believe that if you concentrate your energies in that way, good things will happen and things will come. But you have to be smart enough to figure out that you're getting signals here, you know? Yeah. You're getting signals.
Yeah. And you've got to work for it too. Like, you know, if you do a sigil to win the lotto and you don't buy a lotto ticket, it's not gonna fucking work. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, so that's the thing. You gotta, like, you know, so this is a great, I love using this as an example of chaos magic. And you were talking about comedians before and the things that they manifest.
Yeah.
Let's have a look at Jim Carrey for a second, you know what I mean?
Right.
Okay, so that motherfucker is one of the greatest chaos magicians of all time, if you ask me, man. Because, like, he wrote a $3 million check to himself. Before he was famous, he wrote a $3 million check to himself. And he put it in his wallet, and he's like, in 3 years' time, I'm going to have $3 million in the bank. Mm-hmm. And he put it in his wallet, forgot about it, and he'd drive up to the top of Hollywood Hills, and he'd sit there, and he'd imagine himself in a Ferrari, or he'd imagine himself in a giant house. Mm. You know, what's the difference between writing a $3 million check to yourself and doing a sigil?
Yeah.
Exactly. Or writing a song. You know what I mean?
Same thing.
It's all art. It's all manifestation. It's like Oprah's The Secret.
Right.
That's just exactly. That's chaos magic. But that's chaos magic for housewives and shit. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right. That's right.
So, like, he'd sit up there, he wrote this $3 million check. 3 years later, he did Dumb and Dumber. He had $3 million in the bank. He pulled the fake check that he'd written to himself out of his wallet. It was all tattered and fucking falling apart and covered in sweat and pubes and who knows what else. You know what I mean? That's chaos magic, dude.
Yeah.
That's chaos magic, man. Yeah. That's just how it works, dude. Sure. That's just how it works, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny when you find out that the universe is malleable. You can really get anything you want, man. Like, you really can. You've got to work for it too. Obviously, he busted his fucking ass.
Right, right. Yeah, but it's not just about thinking it. You know, it's like whole what is it? The whole prayers and whatever
thoughts and prayers.
You know, it's like, you know, everybody says that, but are you really, like, putting any energy whatsoever into this person? You know, typing those simple words, that really isn't going to do it.
Even wishing on a star, because, you know, a shooting star is more than, you know, that's more of a, I mean, I guess that is a magical thing, you know, because there is an action that you're acting within the universe. So, you know, I didn't even think about this, but, like, that definitely is some kind of a, you know, that's more taking more direct action in manifesting your dreams and desires than it is just to be like, oh man, I wish I had this, you know.
An interesting note there. So Aleister Crowley says in the Book of the Law, every man and every woman is a star. So, you know, if you're going to jerk off and shoot your load, you're a star. You're wishing on that shooting star.
Of course.
Wish for it, baby.
Of course.
You are a star, man. You know what I mean?
You're a star. Go into the world.
Look at Cinderella. Look at that Disney movie. You know, the fairy fucking godmother. She shakes her wand and a little bit of some white stuff comes out at the end of it. And then she manifests the fucking pumpkin into a carriage. She turns the rats into horses.
Right.
Is that not a little metaphor for sex magic right there in one of our favorite kids movies?
For sure.
You know what I mean? Like, this shit is real and it works and it's hectic. It's weird. It's weird that it works, but people just don't take the time. You know, look at back in the day with cave paintings and stuff. You know, they'd be having trouble fucking finding food, so they would draw on the caves, like, you know, a picture of a bunch of them like spearing a fucking ox or whatever. And the next day, they'd go out and be able to spear the ox. They would have a good hunt. And they would eat.
Right.
So maybe it stems from that.
Sure.
You know, you look at like how symbols and hieroglyphs mm-hmm. and stuff have an effect on the nervous system mm-hmm. and the subconscious. You mm-hmm. know, yeah. McDonald's know this. Mm-hmm. Coca-Cola know this.
Exactly.
Disney know this. Look at their sigils.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Those are just sigils.
Yeah.
Those are just sigils.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, any kind of even language itself, even written language itself is sigils. You know, somebody came up with those symbols and charged them with, you know, this is this sound, you know, and you put these together and that's why it's called spelling, because it's because of its magic.
Curse words, mm-hmm. spelling.
Right.
Yep.
You know, even I look at what I do. I look at the etymology of the word glamour. Mm-hmm. What's glamour? It's a type of magic. It's literally magic,
right?
You know, and glamour is the Scottish variation of the word grammar, and grammar comes from the French word grimoire. And what's grimoire? It's a fucking book of magic. Yeah. This all relates back to magic. Our entire language is built around magic.
Right.
So look at the way language affects reality. Look at things like neuro-linguistic programming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what I mean? The way you use certain words and stuff. You know, like Al Gore would use like neuro-linguistic programming to fucking win debates and stuff back in the day.
Yep.
You know, NLP, general semantics. You know, Richard Kubczynski. It's this all this stuff. You start to build a sort of worldview, and it's like. If people took the time to look into it, they would find that it would be illogical to not use it and to not understand it and to not believe it.
Well, I think a lot of people use it and they don't realize they're using it.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
Right. That is very true, my dude. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, to me, it makes, you know, people are weird for not understanding.
Right. Well, we live in a part of the world. When we grew up, it was very we grew up in the Bible Belt, which is very right, conservative, right leaning. Don't want to really, you know, disturb things. We want to keep within our comfort zone. And really, over the last 25, 30 years, you know, with technology and stuff, people are starting to expand their ideas of what they believe to be true, because we have so much information at our mm-hmm. at our fingertips now, and we don't wake up in a world where like our only light is the, you know, rising and, you know, setting sun. I mean, we have, you know, all of this stuff to distract us, and these things that you're talking about have been around since man first walked. You know, and before, you know, it's part of the universal law. For whatever reason, we're in this world that whatever we can think of, we can manifest. Like, I'm thinking of something in 1950, a device that I can hold in my hand and speak to somebody. What?
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck? I mean,
I think magic is just science that we haven't figured out yet.
Right.
And if we have figured out, it's been suppressed.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like. And that's why I think art and science and magic are all interlocking things, man, because like after what happened to me, I studied chaos magic hard out, and I also went and studied quantum physics.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I got hard, like In Search mm-hmm. of Schrodinger's Cat. I read the fuck out of that book. You know what I mean? I got really into Austin Osman Spare. I read Libby Null. I I got into so much just to try and understand. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's Carl Jung, the psychologist.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, all of his stuff about UFOs and the collective unconscious.
Yep.
Right.
And everything. Like, I think you really got to have two ways about it. You know, you got to be in the psychological model, the quantum physical model, and also the spirit model.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To really have a really good understanding of how these things work. Because, right. I'm not just like off with the fucking fairies, man. I'm still a science based dude. Like, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm into science.
But there's things that we can't explain with science either. You know what I mean?
And that's
the thing about science, where like sometimes I think people get so rigid in their scientific mind that they don't leave room for anything else outside of that, you know? And it's like, you know, we're a being that's made up of more than just that. We have a spiritual aspect to ourselves.
No one can explain consciousness. People think consciousness is thought in the brain. I think the brain is just a filter.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just like an Instagram filter, so we can shit doesn't get too hectic. And then I think when you have stuff like shrooms and acid and stuff, you know what I mean? It's like,
takes
away a bit of that filter.
I mean,
and you can see the patterns that you see and shit are fractals and all that sort of stuff. You know what I mean? That's sacred geometry.
Yeah.
When you look at things like Albert Einstein said that time was a geometric Albert Einstein said that time would have to be a geometrical shape, and then how holograms work, are there two circles on top of each other, and all the sacred geometry that we see when we're on psychedelics or that is naturally occurring in nature, and it's like, there's something to this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that's why the monks and people that have searched for, you know, spiritual enlightenment have taken those things so seriously. Like they do it through meditation, but they're still getting to that state of hallucination and pushing past the boundaries of our world. Because what is the first idea about what happens to the body once it leaves? I mean, every religion's got an idea of what happens to that, you know?
Yeah.
But it's how you deal with that and how you choose to prepare your life up until that point, you know?
And look at, like, the Tibetan Book of the Dead, man. Right. Like, you know, the Tibetan Book of the Dead says the spirit is in limbo for 22 days.
That's right.
22 days is when the pineal gland is formed inside of the fetus.
Right.
A weird synchronicity. Right.
Yeah.
Don't know if there's anything to it, but that's just fucking interesting, isn't it? You know what I mean? Like,
it is.
You know, sure, look at shit like in quantum physics, like Bell's theorem, where it's like if you take one particle and separate it, and you know, you move that particle to the other side of the world and experiment with it on instruments, what you do to one particle happens to the other particle immediately, faster than the speed of light.
Right.
Yeah. Faster than the speed of light. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
And then you look at stuff like, man, if I grab one of your beard hairs, you know, I could use it to put a curse on you. You know, I manipulate the beard hair and put a hex on you or whatever. Does that not sound similar to Bell's theorem? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's there's quantum physics and witchcraft and magic and Buddhism and, you know, spirituality and mysticism and... Yeah. It's very, very, there's a lot of shit that just coincides and works out, man. It's weird.
It's very,
very weird.
Very weird. You're correct. And I love talking. I love talking about this stuff, because this is a chance for us to engage in a conversation that not a lot of people have.
Mm-hmm.
But and it's fascinating stuff, man. And it's everything that I love. It's everything that I love about the universe. And you know, it's because I think a young person, you start developing these ideas when you get out on your own and you're doing like, okay, like I'm no longer being told what to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And you start doing your own investigation. You start doing your own, you know, learning in life. And and it's different for everyone. Everyone has their own way of getting through it, you know, and figuring it out. But this is really, I think everyone can connect with what you're talking about on some level.
There's going to be a lot of people who are just like, I don't understand. Took you, if you take cough syrup and you go to Tronland, you know,
right?
But
I don't think I would have had that out of body experience had I not tried to do magic on the cough syrup, because I've tripped on cough syrup since then, not done anything, didn't jerk my ding dong for 40 minutes while chanting,
right?
You know what I mean?
I think I had
that internal orgasm and. Yeah. You know, for me, that experience, having that out-of-body experience and having the UFO communicate with me, or whether it was a UFO or if it was just a part of a piece of my subconscious communicating with me. Don't get me wrong. Like I've tried to theorize it in so many different ways that are logical, illogical, spiritual. I dip between what happened to me, what I think might have happened to me. The fact is that it just happened. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly.
And for me, that experience, dude, was like, it was like my version of the spider bite. It was like the radioactive spider biting me, man. Cause like it made me realize there's like, I'm able to achieve these things. Then like all the stuff that happened with coming down. And then other times I've used magic and used the cut up technique and stuff and manifested things. It's very, very, very strange, you know, and it's cool and it's exciting. And it made me feel like, you know, life is, there's so much more to life. And like, all of us are capable of this. I'm not some fucking special dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not any better or worse than anybody else at any of this stuff, you know, man, like, anybody can achieve these things. Anybody can do anything. It's malleable. It's just about the power of belief.
Yes.
The power of suspending disbelief. You know, not having that lust of desire or that fear of failure and just doing it and just doing your will. And when you do your will, man, you are assisted by the inertia of the universe. Like, I feel like there's just like, I'm fucking getting picked up. I'm like Snow White getting fucking moved around by the birds. You know what I mean? Like,
that's great. That's awesome, man. No, that's great. It's, I mean, you got a great story we appreciate you coming on, you know.
Yeah, man, this has been a blast. It's been a great discussion and a great story, and just awesome that we connected, you know. I mean, just the simple fact that we can connect, and you know that we can connect, you're, you know, 15 hours ahead of me and 14 hours ahead of Barry. You know, you're in a whole other side of the world. You're in a whole other day on the calendar, you know, and yet here we are. We can share this, and you know, and it's just fantastic. It's amazing, and it's just, man, I've really enjoyed it.
So. Yeah, that's awesome.
Same. So that's my weird story, man.
That's awesome. That's a hell of a story, man.
Sunday, October. Saturday, October 19th, Enid, Oklahoma, at the Enid Brewing Place. Barry, what's it called?
Enid Brewing Company on the corner of Independence and Maine.
That's right. Hopefully, we got your attention just now. That's right. Saturday, October 19th. You've heard us talk about it. We're talking about it again. Our very first live event, What's Your Beer Story, where we're going to be featuring your three hosts, co-hosts, telling and sharing true life stories of the beer kind, the had too much to drink kind, the hold my beer, etc. kind. And we are inviting you to be there to share your stories as well. You can try out the variety of beers available and made exclusively by the Enid Brewing Company, including co-host Barry Johnson, who is one of the brewmasters there, and also hear some funny stories and have a good time and just catch up with us. It'll be a fun time. We're going to do stuff. It'll be hilarious. It's going to be fun. We'd love to see you. Join us Saturday, October 19th, 2019, Enid, Oklahoma. So the next question I have is, what can you tell me about the band White Devil Detroit?
Well, let me just...
That's another layer, see? There's another layer.
I like it. No, so with White Devil Detroit, what we're doing at the moment, we are going back into the studio on the weekend, putting down the final bit of harmonies and backing vocals, and my rhythm guitar player is recording a bit of a weird instrument called a bulama. It's like this ethnic instrument. I don't know what country it's from, but it's cool. He's laying a bit of that down on one of the tracks.
Cool.
The EP will be out in the next couple of months. It's called Stay Calm. It's only Napalm. We have two shows coming up in Sydney. One's on October 12th at the Hideaway Bar, and the other one is October 13th at Frankie's Pizza. And then our next headlining show in Melbourne is October 26th at the Bendigo Hotel, and we've put together something really, really special for that. Something really different that I have not seen any of our peers or any other real, like, you know, bands in Australia doing. We've got our support acts are our friends, the Chevaliers. They play like some cool sort of bluesy Hanoi Rocks type of music.
Oh, cool.
We've got a Stone Temple Pilots tribute band supporting us called Stone Temple Co-Pilots, because I fucking love that shit.
Nice.
We've got an internationally renowned drag queen called Art Simone.
Cool.
Supporting
Fantastic.
Us. Fresh off coming from RuPaul's drag con. And we have one of the best stand-up comedians in Melbourne, Geordie Mitchell. He's also supporting us. So we've got
cool.
A drag queen, a comedian, a Stone Temple Pilots tribute band, and a really cool rock band all supporting us. So it's going to be something really different. It's going to be called the White Devil Detroit Presents the Alchemy Assembly Extravaganza.
Nice.
Cool. And it's going to be fucking amazing. It's going to be a really cool show, something completely different that nobody's ever seen before. So I'm really excited for that.
Fantastic, yeah. Man. Fantastic. Awesome. And you can get the single now, I know, on iTunes, because I pulled it up on iTunes. So
it's also, you can see the video on YouTube.
Absolutely. It's on, I think it's on all platforms. It's on Amazon Music, Google Music. It's everywhere. You can get music. You'll find it. Just Google White Devil Detroit. It'll come up.
Cool.
And Barry and I, we listened to it separately before the interview. And we both came to the same agreement that it's pretty kick-ass.
Yeah, it's great.
And you guys should check it out. They've got a it's very it's classic glam hair metal kind of, you know, LA metal 80s sound, and it's so good. And your vocals, man, are just on point. It's got it's got that operatic touch to it, you know, that it's like, it's awesome. Yeah. So definitely check them out, give them a listen, and, you know, help them blow up worldwide. 'Cause it's badass.
It is.
Fuck yeah. Thanks, man. Appreciate that, guys.
Absolutely, man. And come back anytime.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah, tell us more.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Next time I get remote viewed by aliens, you guys will be the first ones to know.
Yeah. Please, dude. Please, man. That'd be awesome. Absolutely,
dude. All right. Well, hey, thanks for waking up early to talk to us,
because no,
we know you're a rock star, man. It's before noon. This is super early for you.
I don't start work until 3 p.m., so this is a big deal for me. Listen, dudes. Thanks to each day.
Hey, that's a nice t-shirt you got on there.
Oh, thanks, dude. It's brand new. Do you like that? It's one of the official What's Your Weird Story t-shirts.
Where'd you get that?
It's funny that you ask. I just got it off the brand new Spreadshirt.com site for the What's Your Weird Story podcast. There's no www. You just go straight to shop.spreadshirt.com/ what's without the apostrophe, WHATS hyphen YE r-weird-story, and that'll take you right there.
I mean, you can never own enough clothing.
Well, that's true, Barry. There's t-shirts for the ladies, because, you know, they're cut differently. There's hoodies, which are really cool. There's two different kinds of hoodies, and there's also tote bags, so you can tote your stuff.
That's so cool, man.
So if you guys go out to spreadshirt.com, What's Your Weird Story, currently there are two designs, but there will be more going up very soon. So just keep your eyes out for that. And if you decide to get one of our shirts, tag yourself on Instagram to ours or Facebook. Show your love. Show us what you got. Let's see your true colors.
He was a lot of fun to talk to. A lot of fun to talk to. He was full of energy, man. He, I was worried because it was a little bit early for him to talk to us, but man, you know, once he got about halfway through his coffee, I think he started to feel pretty good. So,
yeah, for sure, man.
He had some great stuff, man. And again, I think it's something, you know, chaos magic, the chaos magic stuff is like something that everybody does into a certain degree. You know what I'm saying? Like prayer or meditation or that kind of stuff is really interesting to me. It just, because we put a different name on it, you know, we call it something different. And everybody thinks that their way is the right way to do something. But yeah, no, it was great to hear his angle on stuff.
Yeah. To me, boiled down to the barest essentials of how I understand chaos magic is it's just a directing the will, you know, so it's kind of like, you know, I want these things to happen, and I want to manifest them in my life, and you know, and I'm going to put this out into the universe, and with this sigil and casting the spell or whatever. It's just kind of a way to you know, like you said, to focus and to kind of put that in, you know, the subconscious or something, but to focus it,
right,
and to, you know, direct the will to make things happen, to give him the inspiration to do things,
yeah,
to achieve, to make these things happen, you know. And it's not about being it's not alchemy. It's not trying to make right. gold turn right. lead turn into gold or anything like that. You know what we traditionally, you know, especially in the Western society world, associate magic with like wizards and right. and stuff like that. You know, and but it's, you know, this particular kind of thing that he talks about is like, it is meditative. It is a, in a way, a prayer. It is that kind of way of him approaching how to connect with the universe as a greater and interact and trying to make, you know, his life go where he wants it to go and things to happen the way he wants them to happen.
Right.
And, you know, knowing that, you know, he can, you know, and apparently he's had, you know, some great success with it, but, you know, and he also, like you said, he warned, you know, you gotta be careful with how you approach things and do things, you know, be knowledgeable, I guess. Because, you know, he had that, his song turn into a true life
right.
story there, right. you know?
Right. Well, it's, you know, you put your energy into something and you become active in your own life. You know, that is really what I get from it. I think that, you know, you're never going to reach your dreams if you're sleep on the couch all day. You know what I mean? You got to get out there and work for it, you know, and you can pray and you can meditate on it. But if you're not putting it into action, you know, people got to know you're open for business. You know, people yeah. got to know that you're in it to get a shot. I just think it's an interesting way at looking at things.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
But yeah, man, again, his band is awesome. He's a great yeah. singer. He's got a lot of energy. You can tell yeah. that he really wants to do this.
Yeah.
And I wish him the best, and I hope that if they come around this way that we'll get to hang out.
For sure, man. That would be a lot of fun. So yeah, check out White Devil Detroit. I know they've got at least one track on YouTube at current. That's a video. You know, they're available, I think Barry said, iTunes and some other places. Yeah. So check them out. They're kick-ass, and they rock, and they will melt your face.
That's right.
You know,
that's
right. All these, you know, things. And it's not super, it's like, you know, it's kind of, it's metal, it's glam, so it's kind of aggressive, but it's not like scary aggressive, you know. It's not dark. Yeah. It's fun. It's
yeah.
fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's high energy and it's fun. So
exactly.
It's worth checking out. So look them up, man. And while you're doing that, when digging around, make sure you look up our upcoming live event, What's Your Beer Story What's Your Weird Story Presents, along with, in association with, partnered with the Enid Brewing Company. What's Your Beer Story? It's coming up soon, man.
We're excited. We just brewed our Oktoberfest. So this is a recipe that we had worked on it before we got into the brewery, and we tweaked it a little bit. And last time, you lager an Oktoberfest. It's a lager. Lagering is a little bit of a different way of fermenting beer, and I'm really interested because we didn't ferment it the way that we should have done it last time. So it's going to be good. I've already tasted it. It's wonderful.
Cool.
It's going to be a great thing. I just hope we have some left by the time we get to the 19th.
Yeah. October 19th there in Enid, Oklahoma. We're going to be live and we are going to be telling, beer stories, had too much to drink stories, fun stories. You know, hopefully not too self-incriminating. We're going to record the whole show. And for everybody who wants to, we're going to play as a special episode or something. We'll have it available And, you know, even if you want to come and share and you don't want to be on the podcast, that's cool. We can edit your portion out. But we do want you all to come and join us and tell stories and laugh and check out the fine product there of the Enid Brewing Company and support the local business. And if you're coming from out of town or out of state or out of country or out of this world, baby.
Hey, I watched the Neil Armstrong movie the other night. That that fits.
Yeah, there you go, man. So you know, but we cordially invite you. We hope we get a good turnout. Send us an RSVP. Make it up yourself, but it'll be there October 19th, which is a Saturday. So, you know, if you got high school football on a Friday night,
that's right.
Okay, you can come and see a Saturday. You know, that's why we did it on a Saturday. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's gonna be fun. I'm excited, dude. Because you know what else I get to do?
El Charo.
That's right.
El Charo.
That is right, my friend.
Yes.
So. Oh, and I get to see you guys. But yeah, and hopefully I get to see more of you guys because, you know, I make it down to Oklahoma maybe once a year if I'm lucky.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's always fun to, you know, just see everybody and catch up and, you know, and give everybody big hugs and all that good stuff. So cool deal. All right. Well, we hope to see you there. We hope to see you next week here on the show. We got a guy who's got John, and he is from South Dakota and by way of Georgia. And he's got some interesting stories to share as well. So tune in for that. And we will see you next weird time. Next weird station. I don't know. Same weird time, same weird station. I don't know. Anyway, be safe.
Be weird. Hey, guys, before we let you go, we wanted to take a minute to let you listen to the new single by White Devil Detroit. This is Jake's band. The song is called Guillotine. Insecurity.
as always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.